W.F. Howes presents an unabridged recording of The Favour by Laura Vaughan, narrated by Helen Keeley. One sees as one wants to see. This is false, and this falsity constitutes art. Edgar Degas. On my return, I found the city bleached of all colour, shimmering dully in an August heatwave. The water was almost as full of glare as the sky. Once again, I had miscalculated. Once more, I was unprepared. Ancient treasure gleamed within dark doorways. Shop fronts winked with made-in-China trash, and their competing glister seemed one and the same. My armpits were swampy, my mouth sour. My hands shook. So when I realized it was him, my first thought, absurdly, was, I don't want him to see me like this. After all those years, he still had that effect on me.
Cheer up, Ada, he said. You look like you're going to a funeral.
His mouth crooked. And then, of course, we laughed. Part 1. Trompe l'œil. Chapter 1. Inevitably, I blame my mother. I am aware that this is unreasonable of me, perhaps entirely so. But when all's said and done, things would have turned out differently if she hadn't sold the house. Garriglas was what people generally think of as a country house. While very far from being a stately home, it was still large and dignified enough to be the seat of landed gentry, which is what my father's family had always been. Our particular branch, the Howells, hailed from an overlooked corner of Carmarthenshire. It was there in 1807 that my great-great-great-grandfather Edwin built the house. His design was almost aggressively plain. The rough-cast facade didn't boast so much as a pair of pillars, let alone a portico. Yet the entrance hall, with its sweeping staircase and arcaded gallery, was pared-down classical perfection. The cornicing was delicately moulded, the windows tall, the rooms brimming with pale light. "It's rather awful to admit," I heard my mother saying on the phone to one of her friends, "but I never liked the house. With Anthony gone, it's even more of a millstone." I was 13 years old at the time, and my father had only been dead 3 weeks. But even before his diagnosis, and the cancer's ferociously swift assault, the house had always seemed an extension of his best self. Although my father was gone, the spirit of the place did not leave with him. It lived and breathed within our walls. If one was going to be unkind, one could say that both the house and my father had seen better days. Once a well-regarded novelist, Daddy's career had petered away into self-published volumes of unintelligible poetry. Garriglas, too, was not what it was. A lot of the rooms didn't have quite enough furniture, their walls sporting sad bleached squares where paintings had once hung. The roofs were a catalogue of leaking valleys and blocked drains. There was a perpetual chill, even in summer, and the bathwater was never more than lukewarm. Those memories are distant. I have others which carry with them the sheen of a fairy tale. I remember the mossy smell of apples softening on the larder shelves, the faded gold of the drawing-room walls, the same colour as the roses that foamed by the rotting entrance gates, and the narrow valley in which the house lay, its hills as rain-sodden as the sky, and the heavy yet tender colour of a bruise. I accept that my mother may have seen things differently. My mother had been a self-avowed city girl the moment she escaped her provincial Midlands town for university in London, and then a job as a publisher's PA. That's how she met my father. Our move to the country was meant to be a temporary break, intended to cure Daddy of a bout of writer's block. But although the block came and went, the three of us stayed put, in a valley that seemed to spend 3/4 of the year under cloud. My parents' circle was chiefly composed of the old county set Daddy had grown up with, and a handful of raddled hippies. Meanwhile, I went to the village primary, along with the local farmers' kids, who, though they quaintly
Sample complete. Ready to continue?